Glad that you're able to take some time out of your busy schedule to meet with us here this morning. You know, as mentioned earlier, it has been an eventful week. Of course, what happened on Wednesday with the tragic shooting down at Parliament Hill. But, you know, you think about our city and the way that the city has kind of rallied together. Again, it was a tragic event that did happen, and a life was lost. So definitely please be praying for that family, because it is always difficult when someone loses a loved one. But also be praying for, you know, again, those who were affected by what happened on Wednesday. But it is great to know that God is a God of love, God is a God of peace, and God is there to comfort us when we need to be comforted. Amen? And so with that in mind, I do hope that, Ottawa is still considered one of the most safest cities around the world to live, which is good news. But definitely, fortunate things could have been much worse. So we need to be grateful for that. But it's still remembering the sacrifice of the soldier, of course, who lost his life. Well, today we're going to continue on our study this morning. So if you can return your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes. You know, someone was mentioning that a bit of innocence was lost this week in terms of our city. But it does also share some perspective that you never know, anything could happen in life. You know, today's title is called Wise Words to Live By. Not my words, but we're going to be looking at the book of Ecclesiastes to see what the scriptures say, some guidelines as to how we can live our day-to-day lives. You know, Solomon is going to offer some unique perspectives to us here this morning on how to live and how we can look at different situations in life. But before we do that, let's go to our Father in prayer. Father, we are very grateful this morning. Father, we're able to wake up this morning. We're able to travel here to meet together. And that, Father, we're able to have some time of worship. Father, being able to sing songs, being able to remember the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Father, you've given us your word that we're able to open up at this time. And Father, I do pray that as we study your word here this morning, that Father, your spirit can work in each and one of our hearts. That Father, your spirit can work through me as I preach your word here today. That Father, each and every one of us will make decisions today. That Father, we would not live by the wisdom of this world. But Father, we would seek you for true wisdom as to how we need to live our lives. Father, again, I ask that you bless our time as we study your word. Thank you, God, that you've given us your word that, Father, we can go to for answers, for direction in our life. And Father, I pray that your word through your spirit speak to each and every one of us here today. Father, we thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, turn your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. And of course, we've been, as a church, studying out the book of Ecclesiastes, looking at different topics, different themes that we do see in the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, we'll begin reading in verse 1. It says, a good name is better than fine perfume, and the day of death is better than the day of birth. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to a house of feasting. For death is the destiny of every man. The living should take this to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, because a sad face is good for the heart. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of pleasure. It is better to heed a wise man's rebuke than to listen to the song of fools. Like the crackling of thorns under the pot, so is the laughter of fools. This too is meaningless. Extortion turns a wise man into a fool, and a bribe corrupts the heart. The end of a matter is better than its beginning, and patience is better than pride. Do not be quickly provoked in your spirit, for anger resides in the lap of fools. Do not say, why were the old days better than these? For it is not wise to ask such questions. Wisdom, like an inheritance, is a good thing,
and benefits those who see the sun. Wisdom is a shelter, as money is a shelter. But the advantage of knowledge is this, that wisdom preserves the life of its possessor. You know, wise words to live by. You know, some of the things we just read, we might say, you know, I don't know what Solomon's talking about. Because I've experienced some of these different things, and I may not agree with what he's saying. But let's take a look at some of these different things that Solomon, we do read here in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. The first thing we see is that a good name is better than fine perfume. A good name is better than fine perfume. You know, perfume can be bought. I bought it a number of times for my wife. It can be bought, it can be sold, it can be given, but it also can be very expensive. You know, they say that the most expensive perfume is $215,000. $215,000. The price of what some people may have for a mortgage. That's the most expensive perfume. You know, you think about that. And they even say that if you buy this perfume, it'll be, delivery is included. You gotta figure, you know, if you pay $215,000 for perfume, it's gonna be more than driven too, you know what I mean? You're gonna want them to spray it on you. You're gonna want them to, you know, again. But for $215,000, that's just absolutely crazy. But you know what? A good name is more valuable than the finest perfumes. A good name is very valuable, and it's also hard to earn because it takes time. You know, you think about a bad name or a bad reputation. You know, it's something that can not be fixed overnight. And you can have a good name but do one foolish thing and now have a bad reputation. You know, you think about people, whether it be at work, school, people you may have known growing up, or you've seen them do different things. They may have been a good kid, but by one foolish act, it has given them a bad reputation. But it takes time in order to gain a better reputation. You know, good name is better than fine perfume. Therefore, it's very important how we live our life. Because how we live affects how other people see you. You go to work, you go to school, how you live your life affects how other people see you. You know, if you're a parent, how your family acts and how they approach life reflects on you and reflects on your name. When your kids act out in public, this reflects not just on the kids, but also does reflect on the parents. You know, you think about as Christians here this morning, if we profess to be a Christian, you know, how we live reflects on God. Since we are God's children, it shapes how other people view God. That when they look at our life, it affects how they view God. You know, therefore, a godly character should matter more than riches. It should matter more than being popular. It should matter more than possessions that we seek to acquire. It should matter more than the pleasures of this world. Because as Christians, we reflect the character of Christ. You know, a good name is far-reaching than fine perfume. Something that can't be bought, but something that can be earned and something that can impact many people's lives. You know, Solomon continued and says that the day of death is better than the day of birth. You know, what in the world is he talking about? You know, if you think about it, as I was thinking about it, you know, you think about the day of birth, it brings us into a temporal world. A world where we experience many different things. We experience good, we experience bad. But the day of death, because man can go to a better place if he knows the Lord. So from that angle, the day of death is better than the day of birth for someone who is right with God and goes to meet the Lord. Because that is what they live their life for. That's what they strive for, is to live their life to one day be with the Lord. You know, a house of mourning is better than a house of feasting. It said it's better to go to a house of mourning than go to a house of feasting. And then it goes on in verse 4, it says, the heart of the wise is in the house of mourning. Now you think about that. Then, well, why is that? Well, because it says, for death is the destiny of everyone. That death is the destiny of everyone. You know, many people will avoid thinking about, talking about death. You know, if we're young, we believe that we're going to live forever. We believe that, you know what, if I'm a teenager, if I'm a college student, that, you know what, I'm going to live till maybe when I'm 80 years old. Maybe I'll make a decision to become a Christian when I'm in my 30s, 40s, when I've started a family. Could we believe that we're going to live forever? But it says here that death is a destiny of everyone. And it's important that we have the correct view of death. And you think about even last week.
Thank you, Rob.
You think about last week. One thing we've learned is that, you know what? It's not about our timetable. Because death can happen at any time. It can happen unexpectedly. It can happen as we age. But it can happen at any time. But one thing is for certain, that death is the destiny of everyone. The question is just a matter of when. But you think about when you think of death and mourning, you know, what comes to your mind? Typically, we think about funerals. We think about someone who has passed away. You know, I've been to a number of funerals in my life, whether it be the loss of a friend or performing funerals. And there are different things that you learn when you go to a funeral. You know, to go to a funeral, to lose a loved one, it is a time of pain and a time of loss. And when I went to a funeral, I've experienced, when I've lost a loved one, experienced loss and experienced pain. But when you go to a funeral, I've taken time at a funeral to examine my own life. It's one of those things where life can be going on, going here or there, but when someone passes away, when you attend a funeral, there is a self-examination that happens. Where you start to examine your life, and you start wondering, where am I heading? What's now going to be more important in my life? You know, what I've also came to realize is, it helps us realize the frailty of life. That life is short. I've also learned that when I've attended a funeral, that, you know what? The things that I focus on that are so petty, I need to not focus on those things. Because, again, death brings things into perspective. We also learn to appreciate what we do have when we've lost someone or something. We come to realize, you know what? I need to appreciate life. I need to appreciate what I do have. Because it's so easy to get caught up in chasing after this, chasing after that, and not truly appreciate what we have until it's at times gone. You know, you think about it, he says, better to go to a house of mourning than feasting. You know, there's not much we learn at happy parties. Well, there are at times things we learn at happy parties, things that I've learned at parties growing up that, again, very good word, very destructive. But these things are at times that refine our character. You know, in verse 3, Solomon says, a sad face is good for the heart. You know, how can a sad face be good for the heart? You know, I don't think he's saying that it's always ideal for a person to be sad. I don't think he's saying that, you know what, we should walk around sad all day long. But I do believe what he is saying is that it is wise to feel sorrow when we feel sorrow. That if we feel sad, to feel sad. Rather than to suppress healthy, normal emotions and act happy. That's the only thing I can gather from looking at that passage. Because you think about when we're sad, when we're discouraged, when we're disappointed, we can often ignore what we're feeling for different reasons, maybe because of how we might look or because maybe someone's depending on us. But sometimes it's very easy to ignore what we're feeling and to put on a happy face. And I don't believe that's how we need to live our lives. Because when we ignore what we're feeling inside, it catches up to us. Maybe not in the months, maybe in years, maybe down the line. But it does catch up with us. But it's important that we're honest with whatever we feel in life so that we can learn to take steps towards healing in our hearts so that we can take steps towards having joy again in our life. So I don't think what he's saying is for us to be sad, but if we feel sad, to make sure that we're dealing with whatever emotion we're feeling inside, that we're not stuffers. We don't put it away. You know, that's how we grew up in our household, where, you know what, we were told to, you know what, if you're sad, just bury the sadness, don't be sad. Don't show weakness. Instead, to be tough in life, because if you show sadness, you show weakness, then you know what, people will take advantage of that. So we are told to not express ourselves, as opposed to express when we're sad, when we're happy, to express those different things. You know, Solomon also said in verse 5, to heed a rebuke is better than flattery. To heed a rebuke is better than flattery. Well, he said to heed a rebuke is the rebuke of a wise person than to listen to the song of fools. You know, it's better to, again, heed a rebuke, which is a strong correction, than to listen to the song of fools. You know, rebuke of a wise person. You know, I don't know if you've ever been rebuked in your life. You know, I've been rebuked a number of times in my life. And you know what? At the time, it didn't feel pleasant. At the time, I got an attitude about it. But you know, all said and done, when I look back, it was all for the good. You know, James 3, we don't have time to turn there. It says, who is wise and understanding? It says, let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. You know, a wise person is not about what they know. It's about how they live their day-to-day life. It's not about how much you know. We may know people who know a lot, but do some foolish things. But it is about how they live their day-to-day life. You think about when it talks about fools, when people do foolish things, things that are done carelessly, things that are done, again, without thought. And when people do things, their lives are, whether it be hollow, empty, and they try to get you to do things that are foolish as well. You know, you will have, at some point in your life, you will have friends. You'll be surrounded by people who will want you to do some foolish things. You know, from a very young age, I was a very curious boy. And my mom, because there was four of us, she just could not restrain us all. So I was the one of the four that was most curious and, again, I'd say probably the most reckless. And I remember I was watching some television weeks back, and I remember watching this commercial. Can't remember what the commercial's about. Might be a Canadian Tire commercial, but it has these kids who, these boys are trying different things. And so one boy, he sees the nice, cold fence, and he goes and puts his tongue on the fence. In the winter time.
Canadian Tire?
That was me. You ever think about what was Howard like growing up? That was me from a child where I had to have my, whether it be my mom or my siblings, come get some warm water as I'm stuck to the fence to pour the water to get my tongue to peel off of the fence. You know, my friends were doing it. Well, they say they were doing it, but I say you do it first. So maybe when I think back, maybe they were not doing it. Maybe they just wanted me to do it first and I did it because I was like, I'm curious. What will this feel like? And I realized it was very foolish. When there's like blood, again, that's another story itself. But you know, life went on. You know, you're around your friends. Let's just try different things. And I'll tell you one thing. I spent a lot of time around the wrong people. Tried experimenting wrong things. Whether it be, you know, trying drugs, trying different kinds of relationships, trying the partying, the drinking, you name it. Only to do and act in foolish ways. You know, the wise know that there are morals to live by. And those who are wise will challenge us to live such a life that if they see us doing something that's foolish, something that's wrong, they will challenge us to do what is right. But many times, most of us in life, we don't want someone telling us what we're doing is wrong. We want to try it ourselves. We don't like to be told what to do. We don't like to be told that there's something that needs to change. We prefer the song of fools. We prefer the flattery for people to tell us how wonderful and amazing we are. But we got to be careful because, again, to heed a rebuke is better than the company of the song of fools. I want to surround ourselves with wise people. Wise people who will keep us on the right track when we want to do foolish things. We must surround ourselves with people who are wise, who have our best interest in mind, and who are going to call us higher to a godly life. You know, it says patience is better than pride. Patience is better than pride. You know, the wise show patience and humility rather than pride. You know, he goes on to talking about in verse 9, do not be quickly provoked in your spirit, for anger resides in the lap of fools. You know, we could also say that self-control is better than anger. You know, when you think about patience, you think about long-suffering. You think about having a long fuse. You know, when you think about anger, being quickly provoked, it's having a short fuse. You know, you think about anger, that anger resides in the lap of fools. You know, anger doesn't lead to good things, but it's characteristic of those who do or say foolish things. You know, giving in to anger does not solve problems. Because in James 1, it says that man's anger does not bring about the righteousness of God. You know, what's important is that we are self-controlled rather than being someone who's quickly provoked. You know, when someone wrongs you, when someone offends you, when someone says something wrong against you, you know, are you quickly provoked? Are you quickly provoked when someone offends you or says something about you? You know, we've got to remember self-control is better than anger. Last but not least, it says it is better to think in the present than in the past. You know, verse 10, it says, do not say, why were the old days better than these? For it is not wise to ask such questions. You know, there's no wisdom in wondering why things wondering why things used to be a certain way. You know, why were the old days better than these days? You know, we can often think that things were better when. Some might think, you know what? The old days when I was single, life was so much better. Some might think, man, when I didn't have kids, I didn't have this or that, life was so much better. Oh man, the old days when I had money, I didn't have all these expenses, life was so much better. Man, I think back in the church when things were a certain way, things were so much better. You know, at times, we wish for the good old days. And you name it, you think about what your good old day would be. And sometimes we sit and we wish for the good old days. We contemplate, think, reflect. But the reality is, we can't go back to the old days. We can't go back to the old days. So why waste time thinking about the old days? Because even if we could go back, we may not like those old days. Because sometimes we want to go back to the old days because we're discontent with the present day. But if we could go back to the old day, we'd be discontent with the old days. Because it's not about the old days or the new day, it's about in our own hearts. And being content with the old or the new. Rather than focus on the past, we need to focus on the present. Focus on how we can make our present situation, our present days, better. Because I do believe that wherever we're at today, I believe that better days are ahead. That the best days are yet to come. And if the old days were our best days, I do believe we'll have better days ahead. You know, Solomon offers some wise words to us here this morning. In life, we'll be presented with many choices that will shape who we are, who we become. We'll be put in many different life situations. We need to choose wisely on how we're going to live our life. We need to choose wisely on what we're going to think about, on how we're going to live, how we're going to act. And live according to God's word, where we find true wisdom. And when we are put in different situations, we must choose what is better. And God's way is always better. And we must choose what's better, rather than what is comfortable, rather than what is familiar, or rather than what is convenient. But choose whatever it is that God wants us to do, because that is where we find true wisdom. Let us today choose what is better, not what is familiar, not what's comfortable, not what's more popular, but let us choose what is better and live by these wise words that we see here this morning. Have a great week. God bless.